James, I've followed your work for over 15 years. I never thought I'd actually get to meet you because you're amazing. You're brilliant. We have such a special bond, you and I. And the work you've done, it's like inspired a generation of social activists. It's given people hope. Hello, and welcome to this edition of the Jolly Heretic. Now, one of the things which the Jason Ardaghan fiasco has brought to light, as far as I'm concerned, and which few people are actually bothering to discuss, is the difference between autism and narcissism. Being able to say that you have autism in our inverted topsy-turvy world of grievance hierarchy gives you social status, gives you cachet. And therefore, people who are narcissistic, who are in many ways exactly the opposite of autistics, because they are completely charming and manipulative, like Jason Ardaghan was to James O'Brien, and they can butter people up and read them like a book. It is those people that often claim to be autistic, but they are not autistic at all. They are narcissists, and they are very dangerous people, and we tend to be taken in by them, just as so many people have been taken in by Jason Ardaghan. There is a degree to which he is fragile psychologically, and I will look at that. But overall, no, this is not someone fragile. This is someone you need to be very careful of, someone that is completely in control of what they've been doing. That's what I want to look at today, the difference between autism and narcissism. But before I do that, could you please do me a favor? Could you possibly subscribe? I know everyone YouTuber asks this, but we have to, I'm afraid. Could you please subscribe here on YouTube? Leave a like, hit the bell button, leave a comment, share it on social media, whatever, and subscribe to my Substack. That's jollyheretic.com, where I put all the most based stuff I dare put on YouTube, in-person interviews, vlogs, films I make, all kinds of stuff. And my new film on Moldova. And if you like what I do, you can support me for just the cost of about a pint of beer a month. Okay, back to the video. So, Jason Ardaghan, let us look at this difference. It is extremely important. Jason Ardaghan is this, some people like Sir Simon Baron Cohen, who I will turn to later, responded to the Jason Ardaghan affair by immediately defending him, by declaring that nobody should criticize him, by saying that he's autistic and he might top himself if this carries on. And this man, this pusillanimous man, now that it's not good enough for him that Nathan Coffin's research has proved that this guy is a plagiarist and this guy is a fantasist. No, that's not good enough for him. No, only when the majority, only when influential people accepted it, did he remove his name from the letter defending Jason Ardaghan. What utter cowardice. Now, why did he behave like this? Well, I'm sure he's met Jason Ardaghan, and I'm sure he's been charmed by him to the extent, even though he is a psychologist, even though he should know the signs of narcissism and know how to distinguish it between narcissism and autism, he has been utterly charmed by him, wrapped around his little finger, and therefore was prepared to defend him in just in a knee-jerk way, instinctively prepared to defend him and prepared to hold out and look stupid, and then finally, in an act of pure cowardice, only throw him under the bus when it became clear that the majority of people were doing so. Pathetic. But there you are. Let us look at the difference between the two. Autism is characterized by problems in communication, underpinned to some extent by a lack of a theory of mind. So autistics, they are empathetic, you understand. If they know they've hurt someone's feelings, that will upset them. There's no reason to think they don't have that kind of empathy, that kind of emotional empathy. But they lack cognitive empathy. They lack a good theory of mind. They are unable to understand what other people do and why other people do it to the extent that normal people are. So they have problems with communication. And this could even be reflected in problems with learning to talk, because they have problems in just something like understanding that you need to imitate other people and be like them. And so you get lots of interesting nuances with autistic people. So, for example, often they won't have the accent of their peers at school. They'll maintain their parents' accent because they don't have sufficient theory of mind to understand that it's a good idea to fit in and copy the accent of other people, or they'll get their accent from cartoons, or their way of speaking will be odd and stilted because they don't have the ability to successfully integrate how other people are speaking into the way that they're speaking, because they lack the understanding and just the instinctive theory of mind to do so. The second thing it's characterized by is restrictive and repetitive interests. These people are very rigid. They tend not to like change. They tend to like structure and order. And indeed, Sir Simon Baron Cohen is characterized as the difference between the male brain brain, which is like an engineer and like structure and order, but it's not very good at empathy. And the female brain, which is very, very high in empathy, I mean cognitive empathy, but very, very low in systematizing. And they also seem to be, they experience the world differently. They experience stimuli much more strongly, including the stimuli of their own body. And this can make them have autistic breakdowns and get very upset and get completely overwhelmed when there's any kind of change. So that's the kind of people, on average, they are. And they will tend to speak in an unusual way that will sound a bit, as it were, spurgy, and they will tend to behave in that kind of way. That is very, very different from the kind of person who is a narcissist. Narcissism is part of a broader group of personality disorders known as the cluster B, which includes Machiavellianism and psychopathy. And it is also, there's a vulnerable triad, that's the dark triad. There's a vulnerable triad, which is secondary psychopathy, which is something that occurs more due to environment and than to genetics. Borderline personality disorder, and vulnerable narcissism. Anyway, narcissism is characterized by fantasies of power, by believing that you are special and unique, by exploitative behavior of other people, and by entitlement and thinking that you deserve all kinds of things. It bleeds into the broader cluster B personality disorder. Now, such people will come across, they will ooze confidence. What they will often do, if it's the disorder, is what they will actually be underpinned by is being that you're quite neurotic, that you have low self-esteem, that you feel negative feelings strongly, that you feel you're no good, that you feel that you're rubbish. And you deal with these negative feelings by creating a narcissistic false self in which you tell yourself that you're brilliant and you're wonderful and you're special and you're amazing and so on. And then you seek narcissistic supply. You seek ways of ensuring that the world will tell you that you're wonderful and you're amazing and you're special and so on. And then as long as you get it, of course, then this will boost your narcissism even more and you will feel that you're amazing. And therefore you will come across as incredibly confident, incredibly talented, but certainly incredibly confident. You will ooze confidence and you will ooze charisma and you will be able to inspire other people because you will genuinely think on a certain level that you are wonderful and you're amazing and you're special. And therefore you will ooze this charisma, which will bring other people in. But you will also, because you are entitled and you think you deserve things, you will be exploitative. And so therefore, you know, you will manipulate other people. And that's what you see with what Jason Arday said to James O'Brien. He is love bombing him. He is love bombing him. He is making him feel that he's wonderful and he's special and he's great in order that there be a strong emotional attachment between them. And therefore, that at some later date, he can obtain from James O'Brien what he wants. He's love bombing him so that he's in a sense kind of addicted to him. I suspect that the same thing may have happened, I'm afraid, to Sir Simon Baron Cohen. He is so charming. If you see the video of Jason Arday meeting his boss, this female academic, I forget her name now, this much older female academic, and he shakes her hand and he holds onto her hand and he speaks to her in this slightly childlike but also just this incredibly intoxicating, warm kind of way. That is the charisma of the narcissist. That is what you are. That is what you are seeing. And she's, of course, completely taken in by him. You can imagine how well he would perform in university interviews. Everybody would be taken in by him. Everybody would think this is, not only does he have this tragic backstory that he couldn't speak until he was 11 and he couldn't read and write apparently until he was 18. And then he'd done all these amazing things, which have all turned out to be nonsense, by the way, you know, like running 30 marathons in 35 days and all of this kind of stuff. Then you can see them. They would be utterly taken in by him, utterly beguiled by him, perhaps to the extent that they wouldn't want to believe he was lying. They might have their doubts. They might think, well, hang on, he doesn't sound autistic. He doesn't come across as autistic. He comes across as charming, as really, really charming. And you wouldn't expect an autistic person to be charming, because to be charming, you have to have a very good theory of mind. You have to really understand how other people think and how other people feel. And you have to know that. You have to know what buttons to press. And then you take advantage of them by charming them and appealing to their sort of latent trait narcissism, if you like, their insecurities, their desire to feel that they're great, which it's trait narcissism, which is we all go through periods of narcissistic behavior or narcissist or feel like that. But that with a diagnosed narcissist, it is a constant with a person that has the disorder. It's all the time. It's a persona that's there all the time. And if you question their narcissistic full self, you try and puncture it, then you can end up with narcissistic rage and them becoming very angry. They can't be criticized. They can't cope with criticism because it punctures their idea that they're perfect, and they will go mad. So let's look at Jason Arday. Is Jason Arday autistic or is he narcissistic? He claims he was diagnosed with autism when he was 3 years old, and also something called global developmental delay, and that he didn't learn to speak until he was 11. This has been questioned by a black gentleman from the same part of London that Jason Arday is from, who says that he was at school with him and that he was at Sunday school with him, and that this is complete nonsense, that actually, of course, he could talk when he was a child. Indeed, he was, the word that the gentleman used is, he was a right chatty patty, i.e. he was an extremely talkative person. So that's probably rubbish. It seems to me most unlikely that he was diagnosed autistic, because he has none of the signs of being autistic. As I said, he's extremely charming and socially skilled. And it seems that he probably could talk. So this is probably nonsense. Now, one of the things that then goes together with being narcissistic, remember, you have these fantasies of power, you have these grandiose fantasies, but you want people to think that you're brilliant. And so, of course, there is a tendency to lie, to exaggerate your achievements so that people think you are brilliant and you gain greater narcissistic supply. And indeed, mythomania, the tendency to lie, and indeed to compulsively lie, is something that goes together with some of these dark triad and vulnerable dark triad traits. For example, borderline personality disorder, which has some of the aspects of narcissism, but also is it's more female. It relates to being unable to control your emotions, to mood swings, various things like that. But it has an element of narcissism in that the people's sense of self is unstable. So sometimes they will see themselves as brilliant and amazing, and they will idealize themselves, and as they're so neurotic and insecure that they need, that the world needs to make sense, and it makes sense in a black and white way, and therefore things are either good or evil. So they will idealize other people or de-idealize other people, and they will do the same things to themselves, idealize themselves and de-idealize themselves. And I look at this in a book I've got coming out soon called Borderline Person, oh God, I can't remember the name off the top of my head. Hang on, what's it called? Borderline Genius, Borderline Insane. So that's what they will do. So it relates, it crosses over with narcissism. But with narcissists, when they are punctured, then they will react in a very nasty way, because you will get narcissistic rage. Now, as for narcissism with Jason Arday, what do we see? Well, the person is self-important and thinks they're brilliant and whatever, and therefore would exaggerate their achievements. Well, this is clearly true, isn't it? Look at this, running marathons when he's got a broken leg, running 30 marathons in 35 days, working for WaterAid and going abroad to fix wells, but he didn't really do that. He is a pathological liar. He is saying he'd been on 7-Up TV series. He is a pathological liar. That's clear. So he has the self-importance, which is then reflected in exaggerating and lying about achievements. The fantasies of power. Well, he says that he decided that at some point, I want to be a professor at Oxford or Cambridge, and he's managed to achieve that. So that's an example of these fantasies of power. The seeing himself as unique. Well, that's consistent with the way in which he talks about this background and whatever. The exploitation. Well, you can see that with the love bombing of other people, James O'Brien, whatever. And very interestingly as well, then there's the vulnerable narcissism. So there's the signalling that you are vulnerable, which manipulates people. So, for example, he signals about having poor mental health, which we'll come to in a minute. And when he resigned from his position as Professor of the Sociology of Education at Cambridge University, he didn't take any responsibility for what he'd done. He didn't admit anything that he'd done, plagiarism, whatever. He just said, oh, it's affecting my mental health and I can't cope with it. So that's vulnerability signalling. And you could argue that the autism, which doesn't seem to be true, is another example of vulnerability, signaling. It's a disorder that will elicit for you sympathy, but which kind of makes you special in an interesting way, because there are many examples of people who are geniuses or whatever that have been proposed to be possibly autistic. So it's vulnerability signaling, but it's also at the same time kind of signaling in a weird way that you're special and unique and brilliant. And this in itself then is a reflection of narcissism, although it's something that you would expect a more vulnerable narcissist to do than a grandiose one, because it's kind of admitting fault, but it's not admitting fault. It's kind of signaling that you're special and unique and brilliant. And that's why my friend Hannah Spear, she's got a very interesting video on this, has argued that a lot of girls that go around claiming that they're autistic in fact have borderline personality disorder and narcissistic traits. Go and have a look at that. So, he has that aspect to it as well. And then we see, interestingly, the narcissistic rage. This is now emerging. So when he was confronted by a journalist from the Times Higher Education that wrote to him about allegations of plagiarism, his immediate response was to get in touch with Carter Ruck, the infamous libel lawyers, and for them to shoot off a letter threatening to basically sue the newspaper if they carried on like this. And in that letter, he actually claimed, or in his response to the journalist, he actually claimed, it's affecting my mental health. And then Carter Ruck argued, well, you know, it's ridiculous that you keep carrying on like this because it's affecting his mental health. So that's the vulnerability signalling about the mental health, which is consistent with vulnerability signalling about the autism, and so therefore trying to manipulate people. So we have, therefore, all of the signs of a grandiose narcissist, and some of the signs in the sense of being a victim, being kind of the world's biggest victim, the autism diagnosis and the couldn't speak and the couldn't write and the terrible background and all this kind of thing. But that itself makes him seem special and unique and interesting, and signaling it is therefore consistent with narcissism. So the autism is not true. It's not real. It's fake. He's not autistic. He doesn't seem like he's autistic. He has none of the signs of being autistic. But he's so charismatic that people believe the autism diagnosis. They can't believe he's lying because he sucked them in and he's brave and he's love bombed them and he's made them feel wonderful and all this. They can't believe, even very intelligent people that are qualified psychologists or whatever, they can't believe that he's lying because he's so wonderful, and he's wonderful. And he comes across as wonderful because he is a narcissist. But you have all of the different behaviors of narcissism. Most obviously, you know, stealing other people's work and lying and just taking advantage of everybody. So I would suggest be very, very careful when people that come across as charismatic and engaging claim to be autistic. They're probably not. If they're capable of charming you, maybe they have one or two autistic traits, but the idea such as noise sensitivity or something, I don't know, which they then exaggerate, but they're not realistically going to be autistic. If they seem charming and intoxicating, that's likely to be because they are narcissistic, and they say they are autistic because being autistic makes them unique and special and interesting, and it elicits sympathy from you so that you do what they want. And these are all signs of being a narcissist, or grandiose narcissist. Okay, I hope this is a bit of interest. And remember, my new book, Borderline Genius, Borderline Insane, which looks in detail at narcissism as in many ways among females, will be out soon. And see you soon, and goodbye.